Hard Rock Johnny Cash.
He's Black Bart meets Mad Max.
He's Captain Hook.
A little bit of cowboy, a little bit of metal, a little bit of rock and roll.
He would be the perfect description of, like, my dream dude for sure.
You're listening to The Casey Ferguson Show.
Buzzing like a chainsaw, I'm bringing a little yeehaw. You were listening to The Casey Ferguson Show.
He's kind of freaky.
Well, sort of, anyway. You're listening to something of a preview of The Casey Ferguson Show.
That's okay, dude. I'll just kick his ass later.
So here's the deal. I was set to talk with legendary horror host, author, and Pulitzer Prize nominee Joe Bob Briggs as part of one of this year's upcoming Halloween specials.
Holy interplanetary yardstick!
Either the annual Halloween special for the podcast or the Haunted House of Rock, which I usually do for radio, and will air on Q108 Kingston's New Rock this time around.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hey, that's great, right? Thing is, I just recently found out that Joe Bob is coming to Montreal as part of the Fantasia Film Fest. I didn't have a podcast coming out in time to promote the event, but I didn't want to pass up an opportunity to talk with him either. And so, here we are with a taste of things to come.
I can taste my spleen!
Thanks for downloading. Hope you enjoyed the interview. I know I did. And be sure to keep an eye out at CaseyFergusonShow.com or on Facebook at The Casey Ferguson Show for info on Joe Bob's return. Less blabbing, more stabbing. This is my conversation with the man, the myth, the legend, Joe Bob Briggs, on a special bonus edition of The Casey Ferguson Show. Alright, this is Casey Ferguson, and you were listening to The Casey Ferguson Show. Joe Bob Briggs is on the phone. Joe Bob is going to be appearing at the Fantasia Film Festival in Montreal Sunday, July 21st. Joe Bob, welcome. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're a busy fella. I guess my first question for you is, since you're headed to Montreal, how's your French, man?
Oh, man, this is scary. This is a scary trip. My show is a redneck show. It's called How Redneck Saved Hollywood. And when I first started doing it, I only did it in the Deep South. I mean, like cities that love their Confederate monuments. And then only recently have I started doing it in Northern American cities. Now I'm going to do it in French-speaking Canada. That's just weird. We're going to find the only redneck in Montreal and make him come to it.
Oh, there you go. How's that for progress, eh? I'm going to help you out here, Joe Bob. I'll give you a quick crash course. My French is the shit, but I know a couple key things that could help you out while you're over there. So
okay. Now, I need all the help I can get. Go ahead.
There you go. Well, yeah, don't thank me yet.
Although sometimes when I do movie introductions, I do talk about Montreal as the birthplace of the most short-lived genre in movie history, which was maple syrup porn. in the late 60s with the movie Valerie. But I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they did have this like 3-year period where extremely softcore sex films in which the wild woman ends up as a good Catholic housewife in the final scene dominated softcore sex screens all over North America, but they were in French, so they had to be dubbed everywhere except Quebec. Yeah, there was always a lot of a really restrained lesbian nudity and those things. But anyway, so that's kind of like, since I specialize in exploitation films, that's one thing that Montreal can be rightly proud of. Maple syrup porn.
Absolutely. Well, they're pretty renowned for their food as well. So, I don't know if you guys do this in the States. You guys do poutine?
I've never had it. I'm willing to try it.
Yeah, French fries and gravy with cheese curd.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
There we go. Well, believe me, it's worth the price of admission. And beer, of course, is beer in any language. But I guess if you want to get technical, it's bière in French. But you can probably just point at something when it comes to beer, right? I want one of those. I want some of that.
Okay.
Now,
all right, I can handle that.
Now, pussy's a little bit more complicated here because apparently you're not really supposed to point at that and say you want some of that. I learned that the hard way, Joe Bob. But that's okay.
I don't think I'll be making that mistake.
Yeah, well, you know, so I'm not allowed back at Walmart. So be it, you know. Big deal. Anyhow, enough of the French lesson. You got quite a unique event at Fantasia. Give me the spiel. What's happening? Because you got like some multimedia stuff going on. Sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique show. I've done it all over the United States. It's called How Redneck Saved Hollywood, and it's 250 clips and stills in 2 hours. And it goes through the whole history of how the redneck has been portrayed in film over the past 100 years. And it goes into some pretty dark areas. I mean, it's basically, well, it's comedy, it's history, and it's weird film. That's about all I can say, because it's like impossible to describe. But anyway, it goes really fast. It's a tour of the mind of the redneck as told through film.
Well, I like the sounds of that. I think, you know, you've probably piqued the interest of several of the listeners of this show. So hopefully people can get out there and check things out.
Time for Word Association.
So, first one, of course, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Classic.
Okay, now one that by some people is not considered quite so classic, the first sequel, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Parody.
Good answer. Texas Chainsaw, the remake.
Underrated.
I would concur. Some people would say pointless, but I thought they actually did an okay job with that one. The Hills
yes, they
Have
did.
Eyes.
Doesn't hold up as well as I had hoped. amazing the first time around, and then doesn't quite hold up as well as I'd hoped. The French remake, it's not in French, but it was French director. The remake is 1,000 times better. But because of its place, and you know, it was Wes Craven's second movie, you got to give it. It's kind of launched Wes Craven's career, because the first movie went nowhere. Last House on the Left went nowhere. He was not getting any jobs from that.
So yeah, probably not.
Important. The Hills Have Eyes is important because it really launched Wes's horror career. He didn't want to be a horror director. They never do.
Yeah, oddly enough, eh?
Yeah.
Motel Hell.
Great. There's a whole series of films in which flesh is eaten. It's the funniest of those. And there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of competition for that. You know, a lot of people would say Eating Raoul is better, but Motel Hell is a classic of that particular strange genre of the cannibal comedy.
Well, that's only because Ernest never made a cannibal movie.
Yeah, well, he was on his way.
Yeah.
He made 9 movies.
Yeah, did an Ernest movie about everything.
Ernest,
yeah.
Holocaust.
Oh, man, that could have been something. Oh, geez. Well, here's another classic for you, Deliverance.
Oh, man. Descent into the Black Heart of the Redneck.
Amen, sir.
Yeah, I have a Deliverance clip in my show, and yeah, it's that's a must see for anybody interested in mountain people or urban tourists who think mountain people are a multicultural ethnic history museum and find out otherwise.
What about this one's a bit of a precursor, Joe Bob? Spider Baby.
Spider Baby. Love Jack Hill. Loved everything he did. I don't know. I can't think of a good adjective for it, but it's seminal Jack Hill. I would put it that way.
What about Tremors?
Overrated.
But I suppose it sort of fits in with the redneck horror film, right? It's, I mean, there's rednecks in it. It's not quite the rednecks run afoul sort of scenario, but
yeah.
I Spit on Your Grave.
Disturbingly intense.
Well played, sir.
But a classic that should not have been so despised. I mean, it was banned from cable. It may still be banned from cable, but it was banned from most TV for at least 30 years.
Well, and kind of for the wrong reasons, too, right?
Exactly. I mean, it was an anti-rape movie that was perceived as a pro-rape movie. There's no such thing as a pro-rape movie, as far as I know. But that one,
I should hope not.
But that one was tarred with that label. It was mainly because Roger Ebert claimed that he went to a theater in downtown Chicago where people were cheering the rapist during the movie. And I don't think that happened.
No, I don't think so either.
You can be in theaters where there's nervous laughter because it's so intense, but I don't think there were cheers for the rapist.
Well, and I, you know, I don't want to speak ill of the deceased or anything, but he was pretty against horror movies. You know, on several occasions he called for
boycotts, all kinds of shit.
And oddly enough, for a guy who worked with Russ Meyer and loved Russ Meyer, he was a little bit prudish about sex as well.
Yeah, when his only movie credit, I think, was Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, right?
Exactly. But somehow he thought that wasn't sexual exploitation. He did not like exploitation films that were sexually oriented, even though he wrote one.
Yeah, he picked an odd choice for a movie then. But here's another kind of divisive film, House of a Thousand Corpses.
Derivative, over the top, but satisfying for its set pieces. That's way too many words, but best of the lot in terms of Rob Zombie movies.
Oh, you like that one better than Devil's Rejects, do you?
I do, yeah, I do.
Right, fair enough.
You disagree?
I'd probably go with Devil's Rejects over that one, but I'd call that a fairly close second. I mean, I'm not, I'll be honest, I'm not really crazy about most of his film work. I had somewhat expected more given his white zombie roots and, you know, what he normally does for a living, but, you know, so be it. He's making movies and I'm not.
Right.
But, okay, well, yeah. I'll give you a couple more. I know you probably got to get going here, so I'll get wrapping it up. Children of the Corn.
Well, I mean, it's Stephen King, but it was one of the most original horror movies of the 80s. And still holds up today.
Gator bait.
Half animal, all woman. Is that the poster?
I think so. I think you nailed it.
Half animal, all woman. Claudia Jennings, right?
Yeah, you got it.
So, Southern Redneck classic.
Hey, there we go. Eaten Alive.
Well, there's two of them, so I don't know which one you're talking about. There's a Tobe Hooper movie called Eaten Alive that was his movie that he made right after Texas Chainsaw. He made it in Southern California about a motel in a swamp where the guests are fed to the alligators. So there's that Eaten Alive. Then there's an Italian Eaten Alive that's one of the cannibal films. It's one of the later, lesser-known cannibal films. I'm talking about it like there's 30 of them. There are eight of them, and one of them is called Eaten Alive. It's not one of the better ones.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that one, yeah. Actually.
I think it's one of the ones that was made in Indonesia, but don't quote me on that.
Hey, fair enough. Well, I mean, it's not Shane's World. I think they're probably up to about 30 of those now, but then we're talking adult cinema, and that's a whole different thing. But all right, well, I'll end with this one, 2000 Maniacs.
Oh, that's the... that's the southern version of Brigadoon, where a southern town where the entire population was massacred in the Civil War comes back to life every 100 years so they can lure Yankee tourists to the area and kill them all in imaginatively grisly ways. Probably one of the best gore films of Herschel Gordon Lewis, even though it's kind of like saying the best Mexican wine. But anyway, one of the best... One of the best films that Herschel Gordon Lewis ever made.
There you go, and probably based on a true story, right?
Oh yeah, I'm sure that's. Yeah, I mean, we're waiting. Of course, you know, there's only been one 100-year anniversary, so there's only been one 2000 Maniacs. We have to wait till year 2064 for the next Yankee massacre.
Oh golly, what are we going to do till then? Oh man. Well, Joe Bob, it's great to hear from you, and I hope you have a great show. I hope everyone checks it out. I'll give them the details at the end of the interview. But thanks so much for your time, and I look forward to speaking with you again a little closer to Halloween.
Okay, I'll be back.
All right, you take care, Joe Bob.
All right, see you later.
See you, man.
Bye.
Slicing and dicing, stabbing and slabbing. You were listening to the Casey Ferguson Show.
That's what the plastic's for, asshole.
That was my conversation with the incomparable Joe Bob Briggs.
I know that, dude.
Joe Bob's show, How Rednecks Saved Hollywood, takes place Sunday, July 21st as part of the Fantasia Film Festival. Show begins at 7:30 p.m. at the D.B. Clark Theater. Tickets are just $15. For more information on the event, head to FantasiaFestival.com. And for all things Joe Bob, hit up JoeBobBriggs.net. Well, time for some beer foo. Until next time, this is Casey Ferguson, over and out.